Scripture today is from Acts chapter 8, verse 25. After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news to them too.
Good morning. I would ask that you would bow your heads as we pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the safety in getting us here. We pray for safety as we go home. But we pray, Lord, that you would speak through your word and open our hearts to hear your word today. We thank you for your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Now you can raise your hand, but how many of you like a good old-fashioned rivalry? All right. Some hands went up right away. Some were like, yeah, I guess. Okay. When you hear the term rivalry, there's a few things that come to mind. One of them is something like Coke and Pepsi. When you go to a restaurant and they say the opposite of what you want, you kind of just like, that'll do. You're not really happy about it because you like Coke or Pepsi. Or we think of clothing brands like Nike and Under Armour, and honestly, there's probably going to be somebody that's just like, those are the same thing. And, well, okay, I can agree to be wrong with that because I don't know my clothing very well. Or you can have Ford versus Chevy. Sierra looked at me one time and was just like, you drive a Chevy. My family comes from Fords. And I'm like, okay. So, thankfully, she overlooked that as we started dating. But what probably comes to mind most for rivalries is sports. All right, I heard it somewhere. Sports. We have national teams that we cheer for. We have football, baseball, soccer. Other parts of the country have rugby. I just kind of understood that one within a couple weeks. I'm really glad I didn't have to play rugby as a kid because that looks way more dangerous than just normal football. But when we're talking about sports, if you're a Minnesota Twins fan, you don't like the Yankees, thank you. All right. I'm also a Twins fan who married a Yankees fan, so. If you're a Vikings fan, you don't like the... All right, you don't like the Packers. We also don't like the... Somebody said 49ers, I think. I'm not sure. Okay, we don't like the Bears, the Ravens. Yeah, we don't like anybody, really, if we're a Vikings fan. But specifically the Packers, Bears, and the Cowboys. And I apologize. I know you're wearing a Cowboys shirt today, but I'm still going to talk about them. One time when I was about in fourth grade, I was having a conversation at church. And we were talking about football, talking about something, and I'll be honest, I'm not that big of a sports fan when I was that age. And I said something along the lines of maybe wanting the Cowboys to win because I probably didn't like who they were playing. And a friend of mine, I'm pretty sure we were walking to Sunday school, he stopped dead in his tracks, just, and he looks at me and he says, Cody, we're Vikings fans. We never cheer for the Cowboys. And I was like, okay, kind of like, take a chill pill. We're not quite, we don't play for the Vikings. And he goes on to say something along the lines of, unless them winning helps us in the playoffs, we never cheer for the Cowboys. This was fourth grade. I finally found out that there was more than one team. And apparently, I'm supposed to cheer for the ones that are in purple. Like, I was really new to this, but he had been taught from younger than me, you hate the Cowboys. And I'm like, okay, I'd rather play the game than watch it, but apparently you care a lot about who's playing. But the reason we're talking about rivalries is because there's something much bigger than a sports rivalry that was going on in the time of the New Testament. It's more of a feud, if we're being honest. And we're going to be talking about the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews and the Samaritans have a very long and complex history of why they hated each other. Now, I'm going to do the best I can to take you through this history lesson, but I believe it's important for us to understand going forward. We'll start by looking at the kingdom of Israel. We know of King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. But after King Solomon, the nation was divided into two parts. We have the northern and the southern. Both had a whole bunch of problems. Both were sinful. The northern never had a king that followed God. And the southern had a few godly kings along the way. But they both had their problems, but the northern had more. In 722 BC, the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom. And when the Assyrians conquered a nation or a people group, they would carry off a good number of them. And then they would bring in foreigners to replace those that they carried off. This over time would then lead to the Jews and the foreigners having kids and creating what would be known as this half-Jew, a half-pagan group of people. It was also not just mixing of the families. The foreigners would also bring in their false gods, their idols, their way of worship. And it made a big mess of things. This would then lead to the Samaritans. They were this half-breed of people that had added idol worship and other things to worshiping the God of Abraham, but they still claimed that they worshiped the God of Abraham. They at one point even built their own temple. Now, I am going through that rather quickly. Honestly, we could talk about that for a very long time, but that's the general concept. They were believed to be this half-breed of Jew. When the southern nation of Israel was then conquered, the majority of them were taken into captivity. I did not find in my research that the Babylonians would bring foreigners in, but judging by the reaction of the Jews, it would suggest that they didn't, but I cannot say for sure. I would have to do more research on that. But after some time in exile for the southern Jews, they were allowed to return to their land. And they were immediately mad at the Samaritans because of their actions and the rebuilding of the nation and the walls. And if you would like to have more context, you can read in the book of Nehemiah. Honestly, I understand why they hate each other a little bit more after reading some of that. But this is for context for these groups of people of why they hated one another. By the time of Jesus, these groups had hated one another for hundreds of years. We're not talking about a 20 or 30 year sports rivalry. We're not talking about the Coal Bowl. And I've heard some stories, and there's been some pretty funny things that's happened between the two towns. And honestly, I want to hear more of them because they make me laugh. But we're not talking about that today. We're not talking about a sports rivalry between two towns. We're talking about a group of people that hate each other for hundreds of years. It is even said that the Jews had hated the Samaritans more than the pagans. Now, I apologize for fast-forwarding about 500-ish years through history, and there's a lot of things we could talk about, but I think you get the picture. For hundreds of years, the Jews and Samaritans have hated one another. And that brings us to the passage today of Acts 8, verse 25. Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. We oftentimes can read a passage like this and we can gloss over it. There's nothing that stands out. It's like, okay, they're preaching. They're preaching to the other villages. They happen to be called the villages of the Samaritans. And we keep going. There's a major thing that happens in verses 9 through 24 with a magician. And there's another major thing that happens from verses 26 to 40 talking about an Ethiopian. Yet God placed verse 25 in there for us to read for a reason. And part of that reason is to remind us and show us that the truth of the gospel changed everything. The disciples had grown up hating the Samaritans with a passion. And they are now going from village to village for one purpose. One purpose, and that is to share the gospel with them. Now, it was hard enough for some of the Jews to wrap their head around sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. They believed that, some of them believed the Messiah was only for the Jews. But that's not the case. It was also for the Gentiles. But imagine the reaction of some people when they found out that the disciples were sharing the gospel with even the Samaritans. If I'm being honest, the Jews, the former Jews, now Christians, probably had a hard time understanding the fact that the Samaritans get the gospel too, but we don't like them. We hate them. They felt the gospel was too good for the Samaritans. They probably said something like this: they don't deserve the grace of God. And they're right. The people that would have said that, they're correct in saying that the Samaritans don't deserve the grace of God. But none of us do. None of us deserve the grace of God. I want you to place yourself in the shoes of the Samaritans. Maybe you're going through the market one day. Maybe you're going to work something. And you have grown up hating the Jews just as much as the Jews hate you. We've already gone through the history of why they hate one another in some ways. But just try to put yourself in their shoes. Imagine what it would feel like to see a Jew roll in. They stroll into your village. And honestly, looking at some of the history, you're probably looking for the biggest rock that you can throw about 40 yards. But then that Jew starts to speak. And he's there for one purpose: to tell the Samaritans about the gospel. They start talking about the Messiah, the one promised to come. And they knew, the Samaritans knew, that there was supposed to be a Messiah coming. Because although they had made mistakes, when we talk about, when we read with Jesus and the well and the Samaritan woman, she even knows about the Messiah to come. And this man that I have been raised to hate is coming to tell me about the forgiveness of my sins. The forgiveness of the sins of even that of a Samaritan. This man that I've been raised to hate, he has come to tell me about the Messiah. He's not only here to rub it in and say, our Messiah has come. You guys were wrong. But he has come to say, this Messiah came for all of us. The Messiah came for the dirty, rotten Samaritans. And as your hand slowly lets go of the rock, that you picked up wanting to maybe not kill him, but at least give him a good-sized welt on the side of his head. As you let go of that, you might feel something that you never thought was possible. As a Samaritan, you never thought that it was possible to be thankful for a Jew. Those dirty, rotten people that you hate. And through hearing the gospel, you feel something. You feel compassion. You feel love. You feel thankfulness. But for a Jew? That's not supposed to happen. Now, I'm not saying that anybody picked up a rock to throw it at the apostles. I'm not saying that. But we can start to imagine the conflict that could have been. And as the apostles were traveling back from Samaria, which to my knowledge also was Samaritans, they didn't just say, we did our job. We talked to the largest group of the Samaritans. They can let everybody else know. We want to go back to Jerusalem. On their way, it says they went from village to village. And I'm not going to say they didn't miss a village. But they didn't just go part way. They didn't just tell these Samaritans, the other ones will figure it out. They went to a ton of Samaritans, villages full of them, proclaiming the gospel. So how do we apply verse 25 to our lives today? Now, chances are you don't have a people group that you grew up hating and that your family has hated and possibly been at war for hundreds of years. You might have an old rivalry with someone that you don't like because in kindergarten they stole your crayons. Maybe your crackers. Maybe they took the swing before you could get to them. I'm not talking about that. We today don't have the same type of rivalry. We as Americans kind of have a standing hatred for certain countries. Some of that's due to military conflicts, and some of that is due to Hollywood making movies about possible military conflicts. But yet, as a Christian, we should not. We should not have a hatred for a certain group of people or certain people groups. We don't get to write off the people that live in this part of the country. That's not an option. But people will bring up the idea of, I can't share the gospel with those people. It's too dangerous. They hate me. They could kill me. That's how much they hate me for who I am. I can't share the gospel with them because they hate me. But we see right there in verses, chapter 8, you can share the gospel with people that hate you. And you're right in saying that they hate you. There are specific groups that hate us for being Christians. There are specific groups that hate us for being Americans. You're not wrong in saying that they hate you. But the truth is that Jesus died on the cross for them, those people that hate you right now. And you have a calling on your heart to reach out and share the gospel with those people. And I'm not just talking about going overseas to those that hate you in another country. There might be people that hate you in your own neighborhood because of misunderstandings, because of political reasons, or whatever number of reasons you have. There could be people right next door that hate you. This isn't just about going overseas to be a missionary. if the early Christians only shared the gospel with the people that they liked, there's not one of us in this room that would have heard the gospel. Our grandparents, our great-grandparents, all the way down the line, wherever faith started in your family, none of us would have heard the gospel if the early Christians only shared the gospel with people that they liked or people that they thought were good enough. You have to remember that we were those people. We were those people. But I will tell you that there is one thing that is stopping you from sharing the gospel with those people now. And this is something that even I have to wrestle with daily. And it is your own pride. You don't want to be in the same camp as those people. You don't want them to be part of your camp. You would rather them start their own church. You would rather them go find another church. You don't really want to invite them because some of the baggage that they carry might become baggage that gets associated with you. It is your own pride that is stopping you from inviting them into your own camp. And every one of us struggles with it in some way or another. In closing, I want to remind you that when those people or that person that you hate or hates you shows up in your life this next time, whether it's this afternoon when you're shoveling or whether it's next week at Kettle, get rid of your pride and share the gospel. It might start with a friendship. It might even start faster down the road than that of you saying, church is at 9 o'clock. We'd love to see you there. I can't tell you exactly how that's going to start for you. Those are just a couple options. But you can always start by praying for that person or for those people that you might not care for. Sharing the gospel will often feel terribly uncomfortable. And at times it might feel a little unsafe. And that's okay. It's okay to feel a little uncomfortable or unsafe when sharing the gospel. Because no matter what happens, our trust is in the Lord. And he has given us a calling to go to those people. And the power to do that comes from the gospel. It comes from Jesus' blood giving us the power to go to those. And as we read through Acts chapter 8 and throughout other parts of the Bible, we see that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts to go to those that we never thought deserved the gospel. Sharing the gospel will often feel uncomfortable and at times flat out dangerous. But that's okay. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to come and die on the cross for us. Because, Lord, we as humans fallen in sin were the ones that hate you, that hated you. And you came and said, I love you and I will die for you. We pray, Lord, that you would give us strength to reach out to those who we may not see as worthy of the gospel because of our pride. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us your love for one another and for those in this community. And we pray that your hand would guide us. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.